And we want to welcome Pastor Andrew this morning. He's going to bring a word from the Lord for our hearts. Amen.
Beautiful. Why don't we give the creative team a real round of applause as they take a seat? Amazing. How you doing, church? Who's feeling good? Fantastic. Who's enjoying the weather? No rain. It's been what, 2 days or something that we haven't been drenched. So whoever's praying for rain, they can stop. It's enough. You got to know when to stop. Is that right? You just got to know when to quit it. So now we're praying for rain. I'm sure there's somewhere in our country that needs it, but not where we are. I went on a series, Hearing from God, and I want to continue with that. And I just think it's the heart cry of every Christian. There's nothing more exciting than hearing the voice of God. True? And we're going to talk about this morning how you hear the voice of God. And, you know, it's not just this booming voice, but there are many ways that we can hear from God. But our Christianity is wrapped around that experience of hearing God's voice. Amen? Otherwise, what are we doing? Otherwise, how is our Christianity relevant? If we can't hear God's voice, if we're not having his direction over our lives, if we can't sense that in relationship, we are called to have a relationship with God. And if I'm in relationship, it's a two-way thing. You talk, God listens. God speaks, you listen, you hear. Amen? And I'm just praying and believing that we stir that up in our church. Let me pause for a second. Last Sunday night was fantastic. You know, we've got a few acoustic issues to deal with because it was a very, very, very old building with very, very, very vaulted ceilings. And apparently we've got, I was down the front where it was absolutely brilliant, but apparently if you're up the back, it was bouncing around like crazy. But we can fix that, right? And you've got to pray for the management there because there was a Pilates class that was put on at 7 o'clock and we had it to 8. So anyway, that's what you're dealing with. But I think overall it's going to be a great testimony to that area and get God's word out. Amen? A lot of people pop their heads in or ask questions, what's this? I just really believing. So first of every month, we're going to get in there and do what God calls us to do. Sound exciting? So hearing from God's word. And pray for our college. We start tomorrow night. So I think we've got maybe 21 students starting and doing a diploma in community services and a diploma in chaplaincy, all rolled into one. And some of them are quite nervous because some haven't studied for a while. And some can't wait to get their teeth into it and get involved. So pray with us. It's going to be awesome. Everyone say awesome. So we've talked on a few things. We finished up last time talking about how it can be difficult to hear God's voice. And we talked about there being three voices to discern. We talked about, obviously, God's voice, and then we talked about the flesh, and then we talked about the devil. So if you didn't hear any of that, you can go to our podcast. You can catch up, fast forward, get yourself there. And some of the other reasons why I think it's hard to hear God's voice is numbers two, outside of the three areas. The second reason it can be difficult to hear the voice of God is the fact that it takes time to learn to discern the voice of God. Amen? You know, as you become a believer, as you get connected with God, there is a time that it takes for us to mature ourselves in hearing God's voice. You can't expect straight away to jump in and just hear God as clearly with all the clarity. You know, God does speak differently and God does speak in a way that it takes us time to understand. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. Got your Bible? Let's go there. If not, have a look at the screen. There it is. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Everyone say babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is those, now listen to this, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use. And that word in the Greek, that word use means use. There's no other real meaning to that word. It means use. It means do something. And it describes here in verse 14, a mature Christian includes someone that hears from God by reason of use. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you create a sense of hearing God. God speaks, and we're going to talk about that, how God speaks. He speaks in different ways, but that sense of hearing God is created and developed through use, like anything. True? If you want some guns like Jerry, the only way to get them is by use. Jerry, just give us a pose. Come on. You know you want to. You know you want to, Jerry. Okay. He does it all the time. He just won't perform for me when I ask him to. Come on, Jerry. We could start a chant. Jerry, 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 Jerry. Oh, there it is. That's just not fair, is it? Yeah. But by reason of use, you get that, right? So if there's some other way you think you can start to develop a sense of hearing God and you just don't want to get involved in praying and reading the Word and just not do any of that, can I just tell you, it's just not going to work. Because what you are hearing all the time is your flesh. Are you hearing me? What you're hearing, we talked about, is that your flesh and the enemy gets behind the flesh and starts to develop that side and starts to manipulate you and tries to tempt you. But if you're not using God's word, if you're not engaging in that, then you're going to find yourself stunted in your growth and hearing from God, because your flesh is constantly speaking to you. Remember we talked about your flesh being your desires, and it doesn't stop. It's talking to you now. Some of you, it's talking about lunch. Right now. Right now, your flesh is going, yeah, we didn't have breakfast. We just ran here, and lunch is going to be so good, what I'm going to have right now for lunch. Some of you, you're rewinding, I don't know, episodes of some favorite show that you have right now. Some of you are just thinking about something else, completely different. But your flesh is talking to you. So you've got to develop that sense of God talking to you. Amen? It's something we need to understand. Maturity. Isaiah 30, verse 21 tells us, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We've got to learn to discern the voice of God by reason of use. That is one of the clearest ways that we can allow ourselves to hear from God. And I love what Jesus said. I've used this before, John 10. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Amen? And how do you, you know, how do you become a stranger to God? Well, you don't engage with God. You don't connect with God. That's why we need to learn to hear God's voice. Number three, third reason it can be difficult to hear God's voice is the fact that we have to actively seek him. Linked a little bit to what we've just said, then Jeremiah 29, 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, when it comes to decisions in life, I've just been, Sheila's been tracking through David, King David. And something that, if you look at the life of David, if you look at the decisions that that man had to make as a king, there was one thing that you noticed that he would always do. There's a phrase in the Bible that says that David would inquire of the Lord. He would constantly inquire about all sorts of decisions. No matter what it was, you'd see David literally disappearing into a cave, into his room, into somewhere else. And it said that he would inquire of the Lord. He would actively seek God for any decision that he made in his life. He had that understanding that any decision that he made had to come with God's prompting and calling and leading. Amen? And I just wonder with us, when it comes down to it, obviously just communicating with God just by using the Bible and talking, God will talk to us. But when it comes to decisions, do you actively get into a place where you seek God? I mean, sometimes it can be as simple as a car. Amen? Do you want God's voice? Do you want God to tell you which car? You probably heard my story about trying to buy my daughter a car. And we started to pray. And when God, we prayed, and God, Madeline declared what she wanted, and we prayed, and we got the car. And it was the right car, and it still is the right car, amen? We've had it for a few months, and it's an old car. And to have the right car is a good thing when you're trying to find a secondhand car. Is that right? Is there anything wrong with that? But just involving God in all that detail, involving God in the little things, I mean, definitely buying a house, getting involved in a job, a career decision, where you're going to go, what you're going to do. These decisions, do you seek God? Do you actively ask God to involve himself in those decisions? The Bible is filled with exhortations of people praying and fasting and doing all sorts of things before they make a decision. Amen? But you know what? Sometimes we're in a fast-paced world, and you know what? Hey, God, I'm about to make a career choice. I'll just jump into it. I'll put my resume out. I'll get on LinkedIn. I'll do this and that. I'll get everything out there. But, you know, have you prayed? Have you literally decided not to eat for a couple of days and just really inquire of God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Is this the right choice? Amen? I know a lot of people do this, but I think there's a lot of people that don't. Amen? God is talking to us about so many aspects and areas of our life. I think it's powerful for us to seek. And the fourth reason, everyone say the fourth reason, it can be difficult to hear God's voice is because it takes a humble heart. Some people get frustrated, angry. We want God to be immediate. True? We want God just to come straight in and tell us exactly what we want to know. And you know what I find? Sometimes people don't really want to know what God thinks. They kind of want God just to agree with them. If they were really honest, and when it comes to asking God, it's not really about whether or not it's just, you know, it's an old trick. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's where you just go around and you keep asking people counsel until you find someone that agrees with what you want to do. There's bound to be someone out there. You might have to go outside the church. You might have to find someone that's been backslidden for 10 years and they've got bitterness and what have you, and they might go, yes, I agree. You go, oh, thank you. Yes, God has confirmed it through someone. Being facetious. But the reality is, if you want to hear from God, you've got to have a humbleness in your heart. Amen? God's got to be in that place where he has that authority in your life, where he literally, when you open the Word and you begin to read and you're thinking and mulling over something, you've got to be ready to hear God's correction as much as his encouragement. God brings conviction. True? As much as sometimes you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go with this, and God will speak into your heart and say, no, what you're doing, your motives are wrong. You've got to be able. Proverbs 16, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible, which means it's just louder. Roll your works upon the Lord. commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Are you hearing that? Do you hear the inference there is that your thoughts will be agreeable to His will? Some of us are coming up to God and going, okay, God, this is all good. You know what you want me to do. You know that I want this and I want this. And so I'm just hoping right now, God, that your will becomes my will. Is that all good? Thanks, God. Let's move on. But in actual fact, what you've got to do is just go, really, and sometimes it's quite a hard thing to get to that place where you just go, God, I know with all my heart I desire this, and I really want this, and I really want this to be part of my future or whatever you're going for. But in all honesty, God, if you do not want me to do this or step into this, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to bow myself to your leading. Amen? That's asking and inquiring of God. The other way is just trying to get a tick off. Get God just to get behind what you're doing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. There's so much in that. All your heart, lean not on your own understanding. There's so much that we see. That word understanding means our perspective, our view, our detail. And we just don't. Sometimes we get things so wrong because we see it through our eyes and not God's. We don't see what the bigger picture is. We don't see what God's trying to do. Amen? We don't see that God is like, look, I'm going to let this thing not happen right now because I am developing something bigger, something grander, something better in you. Amen? Or I'm going deeper into your spirit. I'm going deep into your character. I'm not going to give you this right now because it's just going to hurt you long term. There's so much that God's trying to do in our lives. So this area here of just preparing a humble heart, if you look across the landscape of the Bible, if you look at the Old Testament, you see people whose hearts got filled with pride, they started to make wrong choices. They just started to depart. I mean, Solomon's a huge point of case. He started off someone who just opened his heart to the wisdom of God, and then it said later in his life he opened his heart up. He had wives and he let them speak in and he gave them whatever they wanted and he allowed his heart to be filled with their idols and everything else. And he departed from God and lost the wisdom that God gave him. Pride is a big thing. Amen? We all know pride comes before a fall. And I once again, I know there's a few people studying David, but I love the heart of David because he used to drop to his knees and he would say, create in me a clean heart. What he's actually saying is, search me, God. Find out if there's anything that's polluting what I'm called to do in you, in his direction. And he inquired of God and he bowed himself to God. Amen? So I encourage you, be open and honest with God. In your evaluation, when you want Him to speak into your life, be bold enough to say, God, if you want me not to do this or change this or stop this or not be involved in this, God, I'm open to you. If you want me out of this direction, be open to God. Amen? I think a couple of times in my life I've had situations like that where God broke through. Once where I was literally going to leave a place and I just thought it was right. And it literally came down to an issue of the authority that God had put in my life. Didn't agree with it, but I thought I'd so clearly heard from God. I really did. And sincerely thought I'd heard from God. And it came to the last ninth hour, and I'm sure people in this church, while we've been here, have heard the story, but There was a birthday cake, I mean a cake for me leaving. Everything was set up. And all there was a pastor sitting opposite me who just said something like, you know, if your leaders are against it, do you think that it's the right thing? And it's like God just went straight into my spirit, relent. If God's going to work in this area, and I relent, and I said, you know what? The fact that the leaders that were over me said no, I didn't think it was right. Even though I had this word in my heart that I wanted to be a pastor, I was in a youth service at that time. I had a burning desire. I was offered to be a pastor somewhere else. And I remember just relenting. It was pride. And it was embarrassing. I remember sitting there thinking, suddenly that thought came over me, this is not right. I'm going against the authority that God has placed over me. And then I thought, how ridiculous, how embarrassing is this? Everyone's down there literally waiting, phoning, going, hey, we're about to farewell you. There's a whole party about to happen. How embarrassing to go down there and say, I got it all wrong. But I did. It was the smartest thing I ever did. And 6-7 months later, I was offered to become a pastor in the right time. Amen? But that timing was wrong. And it was hard. I remember going down there and everyone's like, well, and I said, oh, I'm not going. And everyone went, oh. And then they all celebrated, and then they turned it into a birthday for someone's birthday that was coming up. I remember that moment. It was just like, I remember walking down from the church, and I just said, they said, oh, do you want? I said, no, I'll go tell them myself. And I had to go back, and I had to say, God, I'm sorry I got it wrong. I didn't hear right. I thought I did. I did hear part of it, but the timing was wrong. True? I heard that God was calling me to be a pastor, but that was 6 or 7 months later in the right season, the right time. Pride is a big deal. Amen? So, how does God speak to us? I'm going to go through some ways that God speaks to you. He actually communicates with you, and it's quite diverse. There's quite a few ways. And then later on, we're going to track into some filters, how to know and how to test how God. Because your life, your decisions are important. The older you get, the more established you get, your decisions that you make in life are crucial, true? If you're going to uproot your family, if you're going to do this and that, if you're going to move all sorts of places and you're going to do things or change careers and all sorts of things, these are big decisions and you need to know, you need to run it through a filter to make sure it's right. So we're going to talk about that later. But first we're going to talk about how God speaks. So I'm going to start with the story of Elijah. Everyone say Elijah. I love this story because I think what we've got to realize when we're communicating with God is He has a way, He has a beautifulness about Him, a relational way of speaking into our lives. And here's the story of Elijah. Elijah comes to the point, he's a remarkable man of God. And he's just performed one of the greatest test miracle shows and displays of God's power. We know the story of Elijah where he got all the prophets of Baal to heap up all these sacrifices. And he just put out a challenge out there and said, my God's better than your God. And I would love to do that. And so everyone turns up and there's two big altars. And he looks at the altars and he goes, what's the test? And he said, the test is God's going to come and consume the sacrifice of animals, dead animals. And then he goes, let's take it up a notch. Let's fill it with water. I just love that. How cool would that be? The pouring water all over it. And so you had all the other prophets and they're going like crazy, the prophets of Baal, and they're trying to get the fire and they're trying to use their trickery and their cunningness, and they think he even throws out some word and says, is your God not listening? Is he on the toilet, maybe? That's what Elijah says. He's mocking them and they're doing all this and they're trying to, and they're cutting themselves and whipping themselves and all sorts of things. And then Elijah turns up there, calls on God, and the fire of God falls down. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing to see that? Boom! Something out of a movie, and it just consumes everything, and everyone drops their feet, and all those prophets get... So he's just had this incredible encounter high with God, and then we find this man, And then Jezebel, who was his arch enemy, his nemesis, hated him. She can't stand him, so she's chasing him down. And she says she's going to kill him, so I don't understand. I mean, he's just seeing the power of God. But anyway, he runs because he's human. So he has this great encounter with God, great show of strength. You'd think he'd be unstoppable. He'd start the, I don't know, the fire sacrifice ministry and go out throughout the world and just do it. But anyway, he finds himself in a really tough place, and there comes a point in Elijah's ministry where his zeal's all frizzled out. He's at zero after this, and he's ready to call it quits. And he's saying things to God like, I've been working my heart out. He says to God, for what? The people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed the places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left, because Jezebel goes out and murders the prophets of God. And they're all trying to kill me. So he's undone, and he's in a mess, and he's in a mood, and he's just all negative, this man of God who calls down fire and consumes things. Next minute, he's under a tree, totally in the desert, and he collapses out of exhaustion under a shade of a tree, and there's an angel that happens to turn up, which is good. Angels are always good. And he's just, so angels aren't good enough, because he just wants to experience the presence of God. He wants to experience God in a real way. And he crawls into a cave, and he climbs up a mountain, and the actual, we're going to pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. So he's just done all this. He just spent 40 days wandering in the wilderness. The angel came, gave him some food. He spent 40 days. He finds himself in this place, and he wants to encounter God. He wants to know that God's real. After all those incredible miracles, he still wants to know. There's hope for us, isn't there? When's the last time you called down fire? And I don't think I'd doubt God ever. I don't know. Maybe I would. And there it says in 1 Kings 19, verse 9, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down the altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And so God says to him, go out and stand on the mountain and before the Lord, and behold, the Lord will pass by, and a great and a strong. So first of all, we see a great and a strong wind tears the mountain apart. So he's going to meet God. How cool is that? And there's this massive wind that just literally tears the mountain. It describes it as like a hurricane force. It displays the might and the power and the majesty of God. But God wasn't there. That's just something he can do. But he wasn't in that. Are you getting me? Next came full-fledged mountain trembling earthquake, shook the whole place. But God, the word of God says here that he wasn't there either. And then fire blaze that consuming everything on every side of the mountain. And you'd think with all that power, with all that might, with all that cleansing fire, everything, God wasn't there. And then next thing we find, there came a quiet whisper, it says, a gentle small voice. And it says that's where God was. Can I say the nature of God? The time that I've walked and known and talked with God, that's exactly how he talks. Are you hearing me? It's a gentle voice. It's not demanding. Sometimes that's why we miss it. It's not necessarily that one that just grabs you and shakes you, but I dare say he needs to shake you guys and needs to shake me, and I wish he would. Are you with me? He's got all the power, he's got all the might, he can do anything and everything, but he is this relational God that just whispers, and he's constantly whispering. and he's constantly talking to us. And it's relational, and it's a father's heart, and it's pure of wisdom, and it's pure in direction, and it's pure, and he's wanting anything. He's wanting us to turn our hearts and be listening, and always it'd be easy for all of us in this place to hear God if he did it in a massive, you know, if we're all sitting here and Phil Vanderese's house has been hit by a large tornado and no one else's house, we go, oh, God's speaking to Phil again. There's an earthquake, there's fire going down. And go, Phil must be talking to God right now. And there's fire pouring in the house. You know what I mean? We go, oh, that's simple. And then Tasha's place the next week, oh, I had an earthquake. Oh, God spoke to you again. Yeah, he did. It was awesome. It was fantastic. The whole place was shocking. Okay. It would be easy, wouldn't it? But the reality is God's always speaking, and he's in the still, quiet, small voice that you've got to go after and you've got to lean into. Are you with me? Because he's about relationship. He's about you wanting to lean your head in and get your heart in and just inquire of him. He wants to speak to you. He is speaking to you constantly. Constantly talking to you. But it's something you've got to actually have a desire in your heart to do. It's something that you've got to, it's not going to be a big light show. It's not going to be some huge, incredible thing. We'll talk about God does do stuff like that. But 9 times out of 10, it's something small, and it's just something where you decide that you are going to meet with God, connect with God, and allow him to speak into your heart. And he'll speak wisdom, correction. He'll bring everything. So how does God speak to us? Let's jump into that. Number one, scripture. Scripture is number one. I think, you know, before you even, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, let me read this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture. Amen? When you open that Bible, it's alive. God can and he will and he does speak through it. And you've got to approach it with faith. You've got to approach it like that. Every time you open the Bible, it is real, it's alive, and God can speak through it. And why don't you start by asking God, speak, God. I want to hear today. I want to hear your word. I want to hear between the lines. I want to hear you whisper through the verses. I want to hear your intent. I want you to move my heart as I read the Bible. It'll change the way you read the Bible. You actually read a lot less. Are you hearing me? And I don't mean that. You might spend more time in the Word, but you read a lot less because you just start to pick up God speaking, and then you start to have these conversations. What does that mean, God? Is that right? Are you talking to me, God? And you start reading something, and you go, and then you start asking questions, and more comes out, and then more comes out. Then you get stuck, and you start looking at words, and you start looking at what he's really saying, and you start inquiring, and then you start to form a picture in your heart and in your mind of what he's asking you to do. And then you sit back and you go, God, is that you? Amen? And then sometimes you get out a little book or an electronic journal and you start to write things down and you start to say and start to communicate. Are you hearing me? Is this okay? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's obvious that God speaks through his word. And it's powerful. And I encourage you just to approach the word in that way. Approach believing in faith that God is going to speak to you. How many people here, literally, God has given you direction and spoken to you through his word? Raise your hand and don't be. Fantastic. And if you haven't, I encourage you, before you read the word, say, God, speak to me. Speak to me through your word. And then just open your heart to listen. Number two, the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. We're a New Testament church. Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them." The reason that has been said so powerfully there is because under the old covenant, God didn't speak to every person. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit's power came upon that everyone after the death of Christ and the resurrection, that people started to hear from God. Everyone started to hear from God. Are you hearing me? Before that, you had prophets, you had priests, you had different sects. People and kings would hear. But after this, this changed everything. And we know in Acts 2:14, it says the first sermon, that's the reason why Peter preached it, is because it was so revelational. He said, "By Peter standing with the 11, lifted up his voice, addressing them. And he said, 'Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ears to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Last day you shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my maidservants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and the signs on the earth below.'" What he's saying is God opened up his communication to everyone through visions and signs and prophecies and words speaking. God decided when the Holy Spirit hit to allow everyone to hear the voice of God. Amen? And this was a big deal. You found just before this in Acts, before the Holy Spirit hit, the way that the church used to make decisions was cast lots. They were actually doing it in Acts. Okay, so fleeces and lots and all sorts of things. They would cast them and then ask God's hand upon them. But once the Holy Spirit hit and everyone was given that communication after the death of Christ, you don't see that anymore. It's gone. Why? Because God can speak to every individual. You don't need to throw out the fleece and start casting lots and standing there and waiting. You can actually just inquire of God and God will talk to you. Sound good? Sound perfect? Yes. And that's where we are today. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. John chapter 14, verse 25 to 26 says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper," everyone say the Helper, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you." Amen? That's why the New Testament church just went wild. It went crazy. Because suddenly God started to speak in so many different ways to so many different people. The Old Testament, it was the Elijahs. It was the Elishas and the Elijahs and the kings and the priests and the special Gideons and the ones and twos and threes. And suddenly the New Testament church hit and everyone started to hear from God, which can create some challenges, right? But it's the church we're in now. The New Testament paints this picture of this community who heard from God. The Holy Spirit was speaking, challenging people, changing people. Sometimes they were worshiping and fasting and they were getting involved in all sorts of things, and God would speak in so many different ways. They were hearing about major decisions, and there were men that were heading to a city and an angel or the Holy Spirit would convict their hearts and they would not go one direction, to go in another direction, simply because God was changing the way they did things. We can't lose the fact that the Holy Spirit is speaking to his church. It can be a little bit strange sometimes, but it's something that's powerful. Prophets and all those things. And another area that God speaks is visions. I love the encounter of Paul. Paul gets grabbed by God on the road to Damascus. He has this encounter, a bright light, which is Christ, and he gets blinded, and then Paul was like your terrorist against the church. He really was. He was like this person that was persecuted. And then God speaks to this man, Cornelius, gives him a vision. Because you'd have to get a vision to go and convert a terrorist, right? And he goes and he speaks to Paul in the story, and you can find it in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, and he gives him this vision of this person called Paul, and suddenly he meets with Paul, and when Paul meets with him, scales come off his eyes, and he gets activated into ministry. Prophetic word. One Thessalonians 5 verse 19, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good. We'll talk about next week how to filter how God talks to you. But God talks prophetically. I've had words over my life that are literally about what we're doing now. Amen? Who's had a prophetic word that's come true in your life? Amen. God uses prophetic words. They're powerful. God's speaking through. We've got a prophet coming in May, and I think he's one of the sharpest I've met. And he's coming in May, and he's amazing. And he confirms things, and it's powerful. Sure, it says in there, we're going to talk about how you filter that, how you make sure that you don't get something weird. I've been given weird words. Amen? You can filter that. Prophecy in tongues is something. And 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in tongues builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Amen? I love a prophetic word. I've learned if you get a prophetic word, it normally means you're going to go through a tough time. So don't go hunting for one. That's just my experience. Number five, godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Amen? God speaks through counsel. Be around wise people. And finally, the peace of God. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Amen? That's God speaking. If you lose your peace about something, what do you think that is? That's God. You just lose your peace. It's like, oh, this is not right. I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. I'm about to make a wrong decision. You get that, stop. And then you go back and you get God's word and you pray and you say, God, what are you trying to say to me here? Why have you taken my peace away? Amen? So many ways that God speaks to us. God's real. Amen? Who needs God to speak in their lives? Amen? I need him. The older I get, the more I need him. Why don't we stand to our feet? Why don't we stand up? Life's too many decisions to be made. Too many challenges in life for us not to hear from God. But I can tell you, friend, that he is speaking to you. One of the greatest things I think I can impress on you this morning. Next time I'm just going to talk about filters, because I think you've got to have a certain, the Bible has a lot of wisdom on how we discern that we've heard from God. Amen? Especially when we're making decisions in life. But God speaks in a small voice. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Why don't you just start this morning as we close the service? Why don't you just submit your heart to him? I think what's out of what I've taught this morning, what's impressed, I believe on the Holy Spirit, what's been impressed on my heart is to talk about that area of pride and submitting your will to God's will. And some of you, even right now, you've got decisions. You've got things being made. Decisions and thoughts. And I want you to literally do this. I want you to, in your heart and in your mind, I want you to submit that decision, submit that thought, that thing that you're inquiring of God. Submit it to God with a heart that says, God, I'm willing to not do this thing or be involved in this thing or make this decision if you don't want me to. I'm willing to submit it. I'm willing to submit it. Allow your heart just to be softened this morning. Whatever area it is in your life, God, we want your direction. We want your leading. We want your guidance. We want our lives to matter, God. We submit ourselves to your voice, to your still, small voice, and we build a life of inquiring, God, of you. In Jesus' name, across this place. Bring a softness to the spirits of every man and woman in this place, God, to hear your voice, to bow themselves to your authority, God. In Jesus' name. Keep your eyes closed for a moment. Last thing I want to do, if you're in this place and you're not, and I want you to ask this question of yourself. Do you know Jesus in a real way? Have you committed your life to him? Have you prayed a prayer and committed your life to Christ personally? Is there no doubt in you about whether you are a son and daughter of the King, whether you are eternity is set in your heart, whether you are destined for heaven? If there's any doubt, don't walk out of this place. Don't turn your ears off to God speaking to you. But leave this place knowing with an assurance that you are owned by Jesus Christ, that he is your personal Lord and Savior, that you have committed and submitted your life to him. And I'm speaking to everyone in this room, because as an individual, it's the greatest decision you could ever, ever make in your lives. And it's a personal decision. It's not reflective of anyone around you, your family, your friends. It's something that you've got to account for your own life. And for some of you, maybe in this room, today is an opportunity to declare that you're going to go after God again. Maybe if you are honest with yourself, you are backslidden of heart, which means you've allowed your relationship just to be consumed by other things, and it's time to turn around, face God, and to head back in direction in relationship and give yourself to him afresh. There's two people, one that's never, who doesn't understand or doesn't have that assurance, and the other one is someone that needs to rededicate themselves. And what I'm going to do now with every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer that we pray every week. It is the core of what we do. And I want everyone in this room to pray it. And if you're a believer even, let's just pray it with conviction in our hearts. And if you're not a believer, pray it with conviction. Pray it with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept today that I'm in relationship with you, that you are my Lord, that you are my Savior. I submit my life to you. I ask for your forgiveness over my sins, and I accept your gift of grace and mercy as it floods into my heart. And I accept today that I'm a child of God, that eternity is placed in my heart, that I am a Christian, which means you, Christ, are in me, and that my name is written today in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love you, Jesus. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer out for the first time or out of rededication, come on, raise your hand. I'd love you just to speak with someone after the service. If you pray that out of rededication or the very first time, come on, raise your hand. that's you, lift your hand up. Don't embarrass you. It's going to get someone to have a chat with you, and it's important. It's the most powerful decision you've ever made in your life. And we need to acknowledge that and make sure that you understand that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to finish in a second. Straight after service, we've got new Christians classes. See Chris Savolas. Everyone turn around. There's a very wise-looking man at the back there in a white shirt. And he's going to take you for a new Christians class if you're here for that. But thank you very much for being here this morning. God bless you. Make sure this week, for those at college, tomorrow night, we're going to see you all. For everyone else, we got life groups this week. And don't forget, this Friday, everyone say this Friday, is Good Friday. So 6 p.m., 1 hour service, and then we've got Resurrection Sunday on the Sunday. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you on Easter weekend. Thank you all.